Welcome back to another episode of the Domestic Boyfriends Podcast. My name is Dean, and always with me is my co-host, Vincent.
Hello!
This beautiful man and me are going to be talking about a movie that, it's kind of old. I mean, a little old. Came out this year. Came out before the movie we last talked about. But, we're going to be talking about... Vincent, what are we going to be talking about?
Thunderbolts.
The Lightning Guys, yes.
Lightning Guys.
Yes, Thunderbolts asterisk, which, you know, that. Thunderbolts was a movie. It was a fun movie. Do you think it was fun?
I really liked it.
You really liked it? Let's do a non-spoiler, and then we'll go into spoilers, and we'll talk about some stuff we liked and we didn't like. Overall, what was the movie about, Vincent?
Well, it was about a bunch of different mercenaries hired to go finish a final mission where they ended up figuring out that there was some tricksy stuff involved, and they ended up having to work together to defeat someone that they did not expect they had to do.
Great synopsis.
There's lots of twists and turns and Marvel everywhere.
Great synopsis.
They Marveled all over the place.
Did you know every single person who was in this movie?
Almost.
Almost? Who did you not know?
Anya.
So who did...
Anya?
So you didn't know Ghost?
No. Yes, that one.
You didn't know Ghost because you didn't watch Ant-Man... What was it, Ant-Man 2? Yeah, Ant-Man 2.
Oh, wait, that's... Oh, that's her.
Yes.
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 I knew everyone.
Okay.
I knew everyone then.
Everybody?
I tried to shove Ant-Man 2 out of my head.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Wait, Ant-Man 2... That's Ant-Man... No, Ant-Man...
Yeah,
Ant-Man
it was Ant-Man the third? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was the second movie. Yeah. See, I shoved it so far out of my head that I couldn't even remember if it was Ant-Man 2
The third one had, what's his name?
Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is the third one.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I liked Ant-Man 2.
Yeah, it had what's his name in it. What's his name?
It's just been a very long time since I watched it.
Guy from Jurassic Park.
Dr. Ian Malcolm?
Yeah. No?
Yeah. No, that's Thor.
That is Thor. That is Thor. Yeah. Oops. I got everything mixed up. Who the fuck was what? I don't remember. Anyway. Yeah, it was a fun movie. A mismatch of people together. And they fight the good fight, even though they're all depressed.
Randall Park,
there we go. Oh, man. they fight the good fight even though they are depressed. All of them are depressed. That's a big part of the movie. All of them have undiagnosed depression. Although one of them does go to a therapist, I think. So, if you would rewatch this movie, how many times would you rewatch it?
Like 2, maybe 3 times.
Okay. I'd rewatch this maybe one more time. I did find it enjoyable.
It was a very fun,
yeah,
a very fun movie.
It definitely was. I don't think I expected anything from this movie, and I enjoyed it. Besides what we saw from the trailers. So, in the last movie that I had zero expectations on, was Endgame. So, I'm not saying it's Endgame level, I'm just saying, like, for most of these, I've had a certain expectation. When it came to Thunderbolts, I was like, I don't think I should think about this one too much. Particularly because Thunderbolts is generally a different type of team. In the comics, like, usually Thunderbolts is a squad that is... normally, like, brought together by Baron Zemo, which is someone that people predicted was going to be in this movie. who didn't show up. So, and of course, the name of it is sometimes mostly named after Thaddeus T. Thunderbolt Ross, because Thunderbolt and Thunderbolts. But obviously, if you were to watch this in order, the last time we saw Thunderbolt Ross, he was a big red guy. He was Anger from Inside Out. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that was a good one. So, the name of it is this a spoiler? Is the name of it a spoiler? Like, what it's named after? Is that a spoiler? Is that a major spoiler? What do you think that's...
What, Thunderbolts?
No, like, what it's named after.
Oh. I don't know.
I don't know.
Would it be?
We'll leave it for the spoiler side. Good movie. Pretty cool. But into the spoiler bits, just so we can talk about everything. How did you feel about the depression? How did you feel about the take that they went on this movie?
I really liked it. As much as, like, it's become a common complaint that people have had about, like, how, like, Marvel, especially for, like, the movies and whatnot, have been, like, writing their characters and, like, villains even, where it's not just I am a force for good and or evil, but there's always, like, a lot of the time there, people have been saying that, like, there's sort of, like, forced relatability put into these characters.
Yeah.
Which, albeit, has, like, kind of always been the case for, like, Marvel characters versus, like, DC characters, where there's, like, usually some kind of, like, flawed bit to every single one of them, and that's, like, the human element.
Yeah.
Besides
just being a person sometimes.
Sometimes it can feel a bit forced, and I don't disagree with people's complaints about that, because a lot of the time I can't necessarily, like, name anything off the top. Maybe Darren. God, I'm such a dick. Like, it's just, let MODOK be MODOK, dude.
Yeah, he didn't really, like, have to become MODOK. Yeah,
exactly. Like, either that, or, like, you know, let him become MODOK, but let him actually be, like, MODOK. Don't just, like,
he's yellow jacket, but he's shrunk.
I can't wait for them to reset everything so we can potentially have a good MODOK.
Proper MODOK.
It's such a waste of a character. But it's anyway, we're talking about Thunderbolts. Yeah. In this movie, it was really, really well written how, you know, everyone has skeletons in their closet. Mm-hmm. Everyone has, like, darker feelings that a lot of the time we are taught to just, like, push down, hide away, deal with your own stuff, don't bring other people into it. You have to deal with yourself alone. And resolving those feelings the way that they did in this movie too, like, it was just really, really well done.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, I feel a lot of things that try to do this miss the mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be truly honest, I didn't know how much they were going to get into it after their initial scene with Yelena and having the monologue happen. Because obviously all of these guys are, like, down on their luck. Like, Yelena lost her sister, actually depressed, tries to take it out on Clint in the Hawkeye show, and isn't successful because she figures out that it was all, like, her sister's decision. Hawkeye didn't kill her. You got John Walker, like, the most depressed guy, lost his friend, tried to be Captain America, and was denied by everybody, and did some crazy things in the meantime, right? And then started working for Valentina. Both of them work for Valentina. Ghost, you can watch Ant-Man 2 to see why Ghost has trauma.
This is a lot of drama.
Yeah, and then Taskmaster, you can watch Black Widow, I guess, if you want to learn about that, but she has lots of trauma as well. And then you got, I think this is the last one. The last one besides Bucky. You can watch the MCU to just figure out Bucky's trauma. But then the last one is Alexi, the Red Guardian, who you can also watch Black Widow to find out why he's depressed. But all of these super soldiers are all, like, they all have baggage, they all have trauma. And they were able to relate this down to a city level. I think it's very hard for... This is, like, the Superman problem sometimes, is people find it very hard to relate to, like, certain heroes because of the extraordinary that they present themselves. And sometimes they have to relate them in sometimes throat, like, down your throat type of ways. Like, some people don't understand the relatability of Superman, right? And that could be, like, a number of things where it's just like, well, he's an alien, but he's, like, a white guy who was born in the South. And, like, for some people, that's not relatable. And he can, like, you know, his struggles are the fact that he's balancing between Superman and his news reporting job and having a relationship with Lois Lane, right? Some people don't find that relatable. Especially when the other half of his life is him just being Superman, like nearly an omnipotent being, right? But they bring that home, as we saw when we talked about Superman, that there's a lot of the character that is built in the fact that he is like raised as a human. He has he has sympathy, empathy, and he has seen the struggle, and he. Tries to use that part of his humanity that he gained by being raised on Earth as the thing that tethers him to being a proper being that isn't detached from humanity despite all of his godliness, right?
Yeah.
So, we look at all of these characters, and they're not the billionaire playboy philanthropist. They're not the God of Thunder. They're not, well, some of them are the super soldier, but they're not the super soldier that punched Hitler, beat the Red Skull, and saved World War II, right?
Yeah.
So, and even like some of the other ones, like they're not aliens, they're experiments gone wrong. They're people that are expendable. So when we look at this cast, this motley crew, of people who are mostly super soldiers, like half of the roster super soldiers, and then we have people that are used as like super assassins. So when we look at them, I feel like we're missing somebody. Are we missing somebody? Thunderbolts.
Taskmaster?
No, I said Taskmaster. Taskmaster yeah. Died, so I really didn't like.
Yeah, that's true.
Think too much about it.
The members?
No. No, that's it. That's everybody. So when we look at this crew and we really delve deep into them being human, it's way more relatable, right? It's way more relatable than the God of Thunder that lost half of his planet, because we're not his guardians. We're not beings of divine entity, right? So I do enjoy how much this felt street level. I think that within all of this, like, MCU stuff, we haven't had the opportunity to enjoy something street level since Daredevil, in my opinion. Because some things just always have this overarching mysticism. You watched Shang-Chi, right? Did we talk about Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but you and I have definitely talked about it.
Okay. So, like,
because you and I love that movie.
Yeah, Shang-Chi is an amazing movie, but and it's ground level, right? But there's something, it's ground level to an extent, and then they bring in crazy mysticism that kind of shoots it up into that higher MCU multiverse atmosphere, right? Introducing the different realms, and at the end we see that the Ten Rings are connected to something in the universe. So when we get the Thunderbolts, I can't not deny the fact that it is so good because of how basic it is. goes over trauma. Mm-hmm. We have people that are relatable, and despite the fact that they're super soldiers, like, they're not the people. They're the people that stay on Earth in case Thanos wins, right? Like in the original Infinity War, like, they're the people that get stuck behind because they're not at that level that everybody else is. So, yeah, I find it super enjoyable from that end. Looking at it all, Bob. Bob is depressed. Oh. Bob is also depressed. Bob is also depressed. How did you think they did? Do you know a lot about the Sentry?
Not a lot. I've interacted with him like a bit here and there, while reading. Like, I've never read like a Sentry focused comic. He has popped up every now and again, and I'm like, all right, we have weird-looking Booster Gold here. because, Booster like, Gold they don't really, like... A lot of the time, like, when he, like, pops up in something that, like, hasn't been, like, focused on him, like... he's just Superman.
Yeah.
A lot of the time in the background, he's just punching things and flying. I'm like, all right.
Very true.
Old Superman.
So I'll give you a quick rundown of the Sentry. So the Sentry is a guy named Bob, Robert Reynolds, right? And Bob is an addict. He is a drug addict. Bob had a wife. He was a drug addict. Everything went to whack, right? He breaks into some government test facility, and then he takes a vial of liquid, thinking that it's going to get him high, right? And that vial of liquid was an experimental super soldier drug, right? It was based off of whatever Erskine left behind, and was supposed to make something that was greater than Captain America, right? It is quoted that the Sentry has the power of a million exploding suns. Sentry exploding suns. I don't want to get the number wrong. The power of 1 million exploding suns. I got it right. So that's an exaggeration, of course, but that's like to compare the potency to Captain America's formula, right? Well, with him taking it, it kind of did a very similar thing that Khonshu kind of did to Mark Spector. We're bringing Moon Knight into this. Is that Mark's DID was like intensely worsened when Khonshu used him as his avatar. This, along with the fact that he was a drug addict and he had a lot of other mental problems beforehand, giving him superpowers, split his psyche also. The Sentry, people say that he's bipolar, but I actually think that he's another superhero that has a case of DID. I could be wrong, so correct me if you want. But the Sentry, it's himself, not Bob, but the actual golden hero of the Sentry, is very Superman-like. He has telekinesis, he's super fast, super strong. Pretty much invincible, but it depends on who he's fighting. Did you know about his origin? His original comics origin?
Not really, no.
So his original comics origin is really interesting because he initially, when he was introduced, when all of this happened, right? In the original comic, he's remembering different things, right? And then eventually at the end of the comic, like, he's like standing on a ledge, and then all of a sudden he walks off the edge and he's flying, right? And he's just like, I am the Sentry. So what that is that the Sentry Bob was retconned. It's this weird like meta retconning thing that they did where Bob the Sentry is technically an original Marvel hero. So they retconned it into their continuity that this guy existed before pretty much everybody else. The Sentry in the Marvel comics is supposed to be the original hero that inspires everybody. So, like Spider-Man look up to him. The Fantastic Four became a team and came back from space around the same time that he came up as a superhero. Like, everybody knew the Sentry, essentially, right? And the other half of the Sentry is known as the Void, who, excuse me, is this other all-powerful entity that kind of just wants to kill everything. So, everybody noticed that whenever the Sentry is in a place, the Void is not far behind, and eventually Bob himself figured out that the Sentry is him. It's another consciousness inside of him. So, working with Reed Richards, they essentially made this device. It's this giant... I'll send you the picture. You can see it in the movie, because it's the same type of design that... it's the same type of design that's in the movie, kind of. This is the Sentry's Tower. So, the Sentry's Tower is also retconned to always have been on top of the Baxter Building, which, how could you ever miss that? Just saying. But that tower was created by Reed Richards to erase everybody's memory of the Sentry, including Bob's and himself. So everybody on Earth, when that tower was activated, no longer remembered the Sentry, because they came to the conclusion as long as Bob knew that he was the Sentry or knew that he had powers, the Void would exist, right? As long as Bob knew that he was this, then the Void would come out and kill people. So, they did this in lieu of killing him. So, because all of them, like I said, they looked up to him. All these heroes looked up to him. They were all his friend. So, the best thing that they could do is erase people's memories. So, the original run of the Sentry pretty much ends with the fact that, he remembers everything. He remembers everything. The Sentry's Tower kind of, becomes his home base and is no longer activating these radio waves, deleting people's memories of him. And... it's kind of like he's the biggest liability in all of the Avengers, because he becomes an Avenger right after, because they're like, well, we could use you because you're the Sentry, you're super strong, you're Superman essentially. But he's the biggest liability because if anything happens or he loses consciousness, the Void just takes over and kills a half a city block. So, that is the Sentry. That is his origins, essentially. He is the biggest risk factor in all of Marvel Comics, usually, when he's not dead. I did like where they went with him. He seemed more of a guy who... volunteered for an experiment and lucked out. And they didn't go down the whole drug habit route, which they could in the future. That's always a possibility. But the whole him being a forgotten hero and existing in the beginning doesn't exist in the MCU. Probably because it would take a million hours of reshooting and a giant budget. To clip him into all of those scenes, if they were to do like a playback of everything. But yeah, how do you like Bob? Since you're not super familiar with the Sentry, how did you feel about
his character? I really liked Bob. Bob was a very, very interesting character in this movie. His powers were most of them were kind of surface level superhero stereotypical kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there was the shadow demons.
Very, I don't know if that's his power. I don't know if that's an MCU exclusive, but Because usually the sentry is... Usually the... When the sentry goes away and the void comes out, he doesn't... He's not just, like, the sentry, but colored like he's a giant shadow. The sentry looks... Or the void looks like some type of demonic monster. The void looks like a giant... looks like a monster that came out of the gates. This is the second one that I'm sending you is actually my favorite because this was during Dark Reign. So, because ironically, everybody during Dark Reign was like, we need to go into hiding. And then Ares, who was an Avenger at the time, and the Sentry, who was also an Avenger at the time, were like, Ares was like, can I still like fight people? And he was just like, better, you can kill people. And he was just like, I'm in. And then with the Sentry, he was pretty much just like, well, I live here, so I'm not going to leave. And Norman was just like, you know what? That's cool. Do you want to be my right-hand man? And he's just like, yeah, that's cool. That's Bob. I like Bob. Bob, by the end of the movie, is a really chill guy, despite the fact that he murdered half of New York, which is never brought up again. How did you feel about the team working after the death of Taskmaster?
They were very, very dysfunctional right off the bat. Dysfunctional in like a functional way. Mm-hmm. Where like they all knew what to do. It's just all of them wanted to lead, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. They were all trapped.
And I still hate Walker.
Yeah. Understandable.
My least favorite of the whole thing. I do love that they properly started coming together when we got Alexi in the picture. Mm-hmm. I love Alexi so much. He's my favorite character from this whole thing. Every time I see him, he makes me happy. I am interested to see them work together post this.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think the next time we're going to see them is probably Doomsday.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
But I don't think we're going to see them. I think we're going to still see just the same dysfunctional functionality that we have been so far.
Mm-hmm. Which, honestly, is part of the charm that they all have as team members.
Yeah.
So, did you peep the end? Did you assume that this was going to be
the Wheaties box?
No. Yes, the Wheaties box. No, I mean, did you, when the ending came and they walked through the city and Valentina was there, did you think, like, what was your reaction to that?
I was worried that one of them was just going to, like,
kill her?
Actually start, like, well, at the very least, break a few bones.
Yeah.
Right? But, I wasn't expecting her to walk through into a press release. It feels like a awkward version of what would have happened if Peter had actually walked, walked through and taken the Iron Spider suit. At the end of Homecoming.
Mm. Did you enjoy Mr. Barnes in this movie?
I liked Bucky in this. He had much more of a backseat than I thought he was going to have, and like any of the trailers made it seem like he was going to have.
Mm-hmm.
But Bucky's Bucky's always fun to have around. I love how, like, stiff and awkward he was at all times. just, like, sitting there looking at these, you know, government officials thinking, man, I've had to kill people to get stuff done.
This is not where I belong.
And the only thing that I'm killing right now is time and this eraser at the end of my pencil.
did you think it was necessary that we had so many super soldiers? There was four super soldiers.
No, there's too many. I do like Alexi's question of like, so
which one?
What flavor of serum do you have?
Yeah, he's just like Hydra, and he's like, oh,
Hydra.
Yeah.
Fancy stuff. I'm Russian made.
Yeah.
I love
him. Alexi should not.
Yelena, you told them about the Thunderbolt?
Yeah, and that's them not being named after Thaddeus is interesting. They're named after a soccer team, which is like the biggest. Like, this all feels like a sequel to Black Widow, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because they have so many references to it, and like the idea that, like, you know, Yelena lived a normal kid's life for how many years while her quote unquote parents were infiltrating the American government and everything.
Yeah, and then she was just kind of forced into this life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. when the plan never was for her, it was always just for her sister.
Yeah.
This feels like the Yelena movie.
Mm-hmm. No,
more than anything. And she really needed it. I loved meeting Yelena in Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
She by far was my favorite character out of the Hawkeye show. And her getting, like, at least enough resolution to be able to talk to other people and ask for help and know that it's okay is huge. That whole, like, breakdown that she has in front of Alexi at the end of the movie, about how, like, she's just so not okay, and she doesn't know what to do with her life and all of that, man, it was just so human.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, organic, you know?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed Yelena in this, and how much Alexi needed to be here, so she had someone to have that with, because everybody else felt kind of disjointed with who they knew and what they could be plot relevant with.
Yeah.
So I definitely think Alexi was very much needed in that sense, but also, of course, for the comedic factor. I think a lot of them, like, everybody else kind of took a seat. John had a couple moments. Ghost had an entire movie, or part of a movie, to really flesh out. But I hope that we see more of her. Her actress has kind of taken a very, like, she's well into it, and, like, hanging out with other people in the MCU and everything. So she really likes where Ghost is going, obviously.
I love that they just killed off Taskmaster right at the start of the movie.
If we didn't know it from the trailer, it was pretty obvious which person everybody hated the most. as fans.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a shame, because, like, Taskmaster in, like, the comics is, like,
fun.
A cool character. I'm not going to say, like, you know, my favorite or anything, because, like, he's far from it. But, like, every time that he has popped up in, like, any media that I have, like, been involved with, it's been super fun, and it makes me happy. But also, like, you know, and it's kind of true to form with, like, just how, like, nonchalant they just kill off the character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for any Taskmaster fans, but he's just kind of a goofy character. He's never been like the idea of him and, like, what he could do is cool, interesting, and intimidating. But then a lot of the time it's he gets like taken out by some kind of like I don't know, some kind of like weird cartoony feeling like way. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time there's just like some kind of like weird slip up. Yeah, Deadpool walking into the room like that. No. That was like one of the first times that like an interaction between Deadpool and Taskmaster was one of my first like introductions to the character and like him explaining his abilities. Mm-hmm. And like and be like, oh, I could copy anything you do. I can read you like a book. And then Deadpool just starts like cha-cha dancing or whatever, and then like kicks the crap out of him while he's dancing. And that kind of sums up Taskmaster as a whole to me, where you can't beat him through conventional means, so why not like do practical jokes, and then he'll probably just be weirded out enough to either like lose or leave.
Lose or leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel the same way. I hope that maybe one day we get like, because apparently the idea is that eventually after Doomsday they're going to reset the universe, recast everybody. I hope we get a proper Taskmaster. I hope that was a good trial run. You know, everybody that was involved got to see what not to do. But try again better next time. You know what I mean?
So he does have potential, but also, you know, he is just kind of like a good... I mean, the guy's wearing a skull mask for, like, Christ's sake, a lot of the time. Sometimes you can't even tell if it's a mask in, like, the comics, because, like, the mouth actually moves. And you're like, is this his face? Is this a helmet? I don't know. What is the extent of him being able to copy things? There's a great like bit. There's this channel on YouTube called Solid JJ that makes great shorts that are like jabs at like classic comics or like the weirdness inside of like DC and Marvel, but does them through like still shots of like the 60s and 70s cartoons. And they had Taskmaster for one of them, and Taskmaster was dealing with the Fantastic Four, and like Mr. Fantastic starts like swinging his arm around, and like Taskmaster's looking at him, and then he just like breaks his hand and starts like spinning it like a nunchuck while crying in pain. Johnny just looks at him, sets himself on fire, and then they have to like pry the gasoline canister out of Taskmaster's hand as he's trying to pour it on himself. I would like to see a serious Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Just because of how much he's normally hyped up, you know, people see Taskmaster and like and also like his character himself, like sometimes Taskmaster is a double agent, sometimes he's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. that just kind of went so deep into his mission that like Fury has to say a code word and he's just like, oh my god, what have I been doing?
Yeah.
I hope we get more. I hope we get more of him, for sure. Did you think this movie was missing anything?
I don't really... I don't really know. I don't know if it necessarily was missing anything. I feel like the ending where they had the title of the new Avengers thrust on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, it gave them like a reason to like move into the tower and have access to it because Valentina bought it and whatnot.
Yeah.
And not that like I desperately want like to see Valentina again or anything or have a reason to.
Yeah.
Because now we truly don't really have a reason to ever see Valentina again.
Very true. Very
right? True. I don't know if they necessarily needed the new Avengers title thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I might have enjoyed it better if they had just stuck with the whole thing of being the Thunderbolts and then, like, you know, them bringing Valentina to justice lets them have that in to be able to, like, move into the tower or something like that and interact. Because, like, the like, talk that, like, that Bucky and Yelena had at the end in, like, the post-credit scene where, like, they offhandedly brought up Sam and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, sure, of course Sam would have an issue with it. I'm surprised Bucky doesn't have an issue with it, frankly.
It feels kind of like, odd that
it
Bucky
feels like
is on
Bucky would have, like, spoken up. Yeah, mm-hmm. It does feel weird that Bucky's on the team, but it feels like Bucky would have, like, would have or should have, like, spoken up immediately.
Actually,
guys, and
been
like,
I'm not a part
no,
of this, guys.
We are not. Like, or, well, I don't think he would have an issue being a part of this group. But I think he would have a much bigger issue with them, like, being called the new Avengers, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, that is Steve's legacy. Yes. Even though, like, Steve right. didn't, like, necessarily, like, make the thing, let's be real, he was the Avengers.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. It feels like some parts of this, like, some characters and parts of this don't, like, feel out of character, and It feels like it's just Bucky. Like, some people, it feels kind of weird that, like, how happy to see them or to not see them in, like, a non-negative emotion. But Bucky felt very... It felt weird. It didn't feel exactly like it should have when it came to his reaction to all of it in general. Because this is a Bucky that was a politician. This was a Bucky that was in, like, the limelight of politics post Captain America or Falcon and Winter Soldier after Sam became Captain America. So for him to not see why this is wrong, especially the possible manipulation of Valentina herself, makes me question if this is, like, too out of character for him. But we have yet to see the true ramifications of this whole series of events.
It's true.
Hopefully we'll get more. I mean, Doomsday is the next movie, so.
And that's the thing. Like,
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure Spider-Man is the next movie, and then it's followed up by Doomsday.
Okay.
Although I'm not too sure on that, because I know that Doomsday has wrapped filming.
And Spider-Man is still in the middle of filming.
Spider-Man's in the middle of filming, and there's a chance that, like, Spider-Man's just not in Doomsday.
Yeah. Yeah, that is also a big thing.
I have a feeling that, like, that there is, like, you know, that there are plenty of people. Okay, so Doomsday comes out, like, half a year after. Doomsday is in December, Brandon Day is in July. But I have a feeling there's, like, plenty of people inside of Doomsday that we just don't know at this point, right? Mm-hmm. It would be bad and wrong of them to have, like, told us everyone, especially since they've already told us so much.
True.
And it would be frankly disappointing if there weren't more, but especially, like, with this leading up to Secret Wars and how big and important and just everything Secret Wars has to be. Because, like, while, like, the whole, like, you know, Infinity Stone saga and everything was big and important for the MCU as a whole, and Infinity War and Endgame were, like, the big thing, none of those
have the gravitas that Secret Wars has. This is building up to be, to have to be, like, one of, if not the most important comic book movie of all time.
Yes.
Because
they have to up Endgame. They have to one-up Endgame.
They have to one-up Endgame, but also, like, everything about Secret Wars was huge when it was coming out in comics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just everything. Like, but I have concerns for Sentry post this movie. I like where it ended with him. I like his whole character arc throughout this whole thing. Okay. And the resolution that Bob had at the end, and whatnot, and him basically being embraced by this new family, that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least this new support group. I really hope we have, like, a moment at some point in Doomsday akin to how he had with Tony and Nebula doing the little table football thing between, like, some kind of thing like that between Alexi, Walker, and Bob, and all of them somehow doing some kind of, like, weird, like, bonding thing together. Uh-huh. I would enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool
to see. I am worried that because of the fact that the next time we have to see the Sentry is Doomsday, and that they left it off of, I can't use my powers because of the other guy, that they're just kind of gonna kind of, like, force him to have to, like, use his powers in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason. And either somehow he's just gonna have control of it, and be like, oh, whoa, this is weird. Or, like, you know, it's just gonna be, I guess I have to do something, and then boom, all of a sudden he just has no control, and he's just a bad guy again for some reason. I can't see a happy middle where, like, he doesn't really have control, but he's doing the best that he can, and, like, able for him to grow further from there.
Yeah.
Or descend from there. I just see these potential skyrocket or plummet points.
Mm. Yeah. No. It's hard.
It just doesn't feel like there's enough room, you know? Because there's so much they have to pack into these things. It's one of the reasons why I love when they do these as TV shows, because there's so much room to breathe.
Yeah, no, I agree. It feels... It's hard for this to, for the Sentry to exist when this team, or when the future of the MCU is so, it's already so big, like you said, but also he is a lot. He is a godlike being beyond even what, like, probably in the realms of Thor, right? So how do we take this guy who is on a street level team that can do crazy things, like, without him dying within the first 5 seconds to scale things out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or being launched off into space somewhere, or being a part of the B team plot, or something where he's not the main event. And eventually when they go see the big bad guy, he just helps wipe him out. So,
yeah. I'm also, like, and, like, it's not just, like, the Sentry that I'm worried about, too. Albeit, like, you know, this is about Thunderbolts and everything, but, like, we're getting so close to Doomsday happening and Secret Wars happening. Because Secret Wars is slated for literally a year later, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't... And, like, we've been told they are going to do some kind of reset after that.
Yes.
Which... is much needed. I won't disagree with that fact. A reset would feel great.
Mm-hmm.
But while there doesn't feel like there's, like, much room to be able to actually, like, breathe and grow with, like, Sentry or potentially, like, some other characters too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also worried that, like, no one outside of the people that we know that are getting another movie before Secret Wars has room to be able to do anything, especially, like, some of these, like, things that we've been waiting for a while.
Oh, like, you mean, like, us finally getting something out of the post credits that haven't been,
yeah, like, yet. Or yeah. Like, Like, you know, we've been waiting for, like, Moon Knight Season 2 to happen. Mm-hmm. Where is that going to happen with the current character and, like, or, like, characters that have been set up here like, before this reset?
We don't... We
and is it going to feel good?
We can't have 7 movies that are in the same place as Quantumanium. Yeah. That just
I really like this team. Mm-hmm. I really like all of the... Almost all... I keep looking at Walker. almost all of the people here. I do like all of their dynamics with each other. Mm-hmm. And Walker's included in that mostly because everyone is like, hey, it's great to see you. Hey, it's great to see you. Hey, it's great to see you. I hate you.
You're awesome. You're in the way.
A jackass. Yeah, like, but like, we've been introduced to this great group that does have very fun synergy. And in 2 years and 3 months, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And we don't know what, like, post-Secret Wars is going to look like. We don't know what the reset, what post-reset's going to look like. And if we're, it's going to branch off and become something like how the comics are, where, like, we have, like, a main timeline, but we also have these, like, you know, Elseworld variations of mm-hmm. things, too. Where, like, the current stuff that is here, we could continue with. Although I kind of doubt that we're going to see that. While DC's managed to have that work out, that's because they've set their own precedent now where, like, you know, we're going to have this stuff that doesn't necessarily have a central canon to each other and don't have to be interconnected. Whereas Marvel has constantly reasserted itself outside of things where it's animated that all of this has to be touching each other at all times.
Mm-hmm. Pause. Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. That is one of my biggest gripes when it comes to the MCU in general. So hopefully, you know, we can get this. Hopefully, I can change, because I do have a lot of similar gripes to you when it comes to how they've gone so big, and it's so hard for them to shrink. We've talked about this before. That everything just feels like it has to meet that expectation of Endgame, when in reality, when everything post Endgame was starting out, it had so much potential. Like, so many street level people, so many shows, everything felt like it was fine. But it almost feels weird that, like, we're at this point with Endgame, like, or not Endgame, with Doomsday being around the corner, because, like, where has the time gone? It feels like there's been so much in between these movies, but it also feels like there's nothing has happened at the same time. Like,
well, yeah, and like that makes sense too, because like while everything, like, quote unquote, you know, everything, because like for a good chunk of the MCU, right at the start, it wasn't until Guardians of the Galaxy that they wanted to start doing this like push towards Thanos kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that point, they fleshed out that idea and had things start connecting and draw a line and like converge into a point.
Yeah, very true. Yes.
And unfortunately for this, you know, we had a thing that they were going to do, and then Kang the Domestic Abuser had to do something that caused them to have to completely change directory. But even then, it felt like right off the bat, they like had these things and then they were immediately pointing at something instead of rebuilding and then having it work together and converge. But now we're at this point with Thunderbolts where this feels like something that is building something and kind of points at one thing, but it's definitely not a center point. This is just the next like direction we're going with, like, you know, Fantastic Four being shown off at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I would have, like, if this came out, can you imagine if, like, this kind of thing came out, like, right, like, a year after Endgame?
It would have been completely...
This would have been incredible.
Yes, it would have been... And then, it would have been a completely different atmosphere that we had for the MCU itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead, they just kept shoving Kang down our throats over and over again right at the start, and then it's just gonna go nowhere.
Which is funny because apparently Kevin Feige said even before the scandals with Jonathan Majors, they were apparently going to scrap everything that was related to Kang. And I call bull on that, because how do you hype up a man so much that and you spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on, like, making his character exactly what you want it to be, just to say, oh, yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. I'm glad that they did it, though, because, like, I wasn't the biggest fan of Kang and, like, where it was going anyway. This is, like, way more interesting and way more fun. It's just... I'm worried that it's going to be kind of a wet noodle right off the bat. I hope that I'm wrong, and I'm going to believe that I can be wrong. I do feel like it's going to be, like, really messy right at the start of Doomsday, and that I have some faith that they are going... That, you know, what, it's the Russo brothers, right? They'll fix it.
Hopefully.
But, like, at the very least, for this movie, where we have just, like, nice street-level stuff, and then especially for Spider-Man, having been, what, their original script got scrapped, and they just decided to redo it as a street-level Spider-Man thing, and Tom has apparently been, like, fighting tooth and nail and, like, looking at, like, a lot of recommendations that, like, the online community has had. He's done a lot of, like, reading of, like, source material and giving tons of recommendations, being like, I want these things in because this character needs to be this right now.
Yeah.
I want more of this. I don't need my superheroes to constantly be fighting these terrifying cosmic entities that are potentially going to be extinction events for the entire world, civilization as a whole across the galaxy. Leave it to Star Wars for a bit and do it every now and again. It's so much more compelling when a superhero is actually saving just, like, a city, or even just, like, a city block, even.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about, where what I was saying about, like, them being relatable. This is, like, one of the few relatable MCU movies that we have, and they're kind of just taking it, and it's like, well, here you go. Are they going to be here later? Probably not. So. Yeah. But, you know, maybe they'll survive the doomsday. Maybe they won't.
I hope so.
Maybe some of them will. I don't know how they're, like you said, I'm not sure how they're really gonna deal with much of this, but hopefully they do it in a way that makes maybe everybody happy. It's just hard to satisfy everybody nowadays.
I need Florence Pugh and David Harbour to at least survive. I love Alexei and Yelena so much.
They're the only thing that survives the reset. She looks at Natasha and she's like, she looks up Black Widow. She's like, Natasha, and it's Jennifer Lawrence or something. She's gonna be like, oh, my sister. So, yeah, I don't really have, I don't have anything else. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. I think it was. A lot of people disagree with me on this, but I think it was one of the best things to come out of the MCU in a while. If I had to put it... I put it on this, like, almost the same playing field as Fantastic Four, and I think you'll understand it when I frame it in the same... If I put it in the frame of mind of, like, this movie felt like it was, like, in the whole main MCU, right? Fantastic Four felt good in its own separate universe. How it's going to hold up when it actually... How those characters will hold up when you actually get them in there is going to be different. And it's going to take a lot of good writing and character interactions. But I think this felt great. I miss the street level stuff. I miss these characters feeling like they are people first and not just these giant, glorious statues to be worshipped. So, yeah. You have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share?
None that I can think of.
Okay. Well, you guys heard it. We enjoyed the movie. It has its ups and downs. It doesn't. This movie doesn't have its ups and downs. The MCU has its ups and downs, and this is sadly a part of this giant conglomerate. For better or for worse. So, yeah. You ready? You good to end it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. If you would like to get in contact with us, I am at Lying Mask on Blue Sky.
I'm Vincent Barlow on Blue Sky.
And you can follow us at the Domestic BF Podcast, or Domestic BF Pod on Blue Sky. Thank you, Ultimate Maverick X. Next episode, Vincent, what's the next episode going to be?
We're going to finally talk about the Fantastic Four.
We will finally talk about the Fantastic Four. I forgot that we didn't talk about the Fantastic Four. We talked about Superman. In my opinion, a better movie. Thank you guys for listening in, and we'll catch you guys later.
Stay beautiful, everyone.